Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? In fact, this will be the last sermon in this series called Moments. And I'm pretty confident of that this morning. Let's immediately recap where we are. There's the battle here we read of between the Philistines and the Israelite army. And as you know, after these many weeks, there was one man named Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, who was there with all of the army of Israel, some 600 military men, with his father king there under pomegranate trees. And it was in that place that Jonathan spoke to his armor bearer and urged him to go with him out of the camp. They went out in secret and they presented themselves to the Philistines, all for the purpose of seeing God perform a miracle and causing Israel to wrought a great victory over the Philistines. He come out, him and the armor bearer come out, they showed themselves. They took great risk, but what they had greater than risk was great faith, as the armor bearer went with him wholeheartedly. Whatever's in your heart, Jonathan, to do, I'm with you. And we see unfold a tremendous move of God when they are called up to the Philistines, where it looked like there would be sure death that would come to Jonathan and the armor bearer. It was there that God brought forth a great victory. And Jonathan had said, our God is able to deliver us. He's able to win this, whether by many or by few. And we just see an incredible thing happen. Okay? I want you to just look at verse 16 of 1 Samuel 14. Now the watchman of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was the multitude melting away. This is the Philistine army. They're melting away. This is when Jonathan and the armor bearer have gone, and God has showed up strong. The enemy is melting away, verse 16. And they went here and there. The people were just going every which way in confusion. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, now call the roll and see. Now this is back now in the camp of the Israelites now in this verse. And Saul is saying, now call the roll and see who has gone from us. Note, they don't know Jonathan and the armor bearer are not in the group, because they were wearing sneakers out of there. They didn't tell anybody. They were doing it in secret. So he says, go and find out, call the roll, find out who's gone from us. Because one of the things that had happened, there had been other of the military men who had, some had run away. Some were running away in fear. Some were hiding apart from the army in fear. Some had, it appears, maybe even surrendered to the Philistines and were over there in the Philistine camp and just allowed themselves to be held captives to keep from getting killed. That's what appears to be going on here. So when they call the roll, and when they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahijah, bring the ark of God here, for at that time the ark of God was with the children of Israel. Verse 19, now it happened while Saul talked to the priest that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Withdraw your hand. Father, I pray that you would bless the hearing and reading of your word today. Speak to our hearts in great power and authority, to Lord, that with this series of moments, Lord, would come to a conclusion, but Lord, would only be a beginning in our life as we move forward. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been left at the altar before? No, I'm not talking about the runaway bride. I'm not talking about being left in that sense. But have you ever gone to perhaps an altar of prayer where you were a little bit confused, whether you needed just to go ahead and act or whether you needed to pray more about it, whether what to do, what's next, just kind of there being left at the altar, maybe speechless, not knowing what to do. Well, what I wanted us to see about Saul was this. Saul was over and over again missing out on divine moments. In fact, when he should have been praying, he was doing something. When he should be doing something, he was praying. When he should have been allowing God to have control, he was trying to take control. And we see this in the life of Saul. He was constantly, seemingly missing the divine opportunities that were presented him. But on the other hand, Jonathan, his son, seemed to always be at the right time and the right place, responding in the right way, seeking God to move in the divine, in the right moments. We see this in the life of Jonathan. It's a beautiful story, this young man. And so we see, and when we compare the two, we see great contrast between this father and this son. Now, when we look at Saul in this story, here we find him. They've discovered that Jonathan and the armor bearer are gone from them, but also they see activity going on. They realize that the enemy is starting to fight against itself. They're running to and fro. There is a scattering of the army, and now all of a sudden he's kind of been waken out of his sleep. He's been waken out of his stupor under the pomegranate trees. He sees activity, he sees movement going on. And so he calls for the Ark of the Covenant and the priest to come there with the Ark of the Covenant. And he asked the priest, now we need to pray about this thing. And but the noise, the increase of noise, there was it can also be translated tumult, or it was a lot of confusion going on. There was noise that was increasing. And then Saul said, stay your hand. About the time they were going to go to prayer, he said, stay your hand. Take away your hand. He was at the altar. They were about to pray. But he said, stay your hand. Now I would say to you, that's probably the first time that Saul had done anything right. Because it was not time to pray in that moment, it was time to act. I want to tell you, sometimes prayer can be an obstacle if you're supposed to be doing something and you're still praying about it. Now I know that's a unusual statement to make here in church. But see, I would argue with you today that Jonathan was a man of prayer, though we're not reading about it. For him to be able to hear the voice of God and to understand what he needed to be doing versus what the crowd needed to be doing, and the army was just staying still, he was in touch and had a sensitivity. What I'm getting at is, prayer is a work of obedience. If we're praying without obedience, then prayer is an obstacle to what we should be doing. Now, I'm not at all saying that we're praying too much. Would you say amen to that? I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is there's a time to pray and there's a time to move obediently in our prayers. That's why the New Testament says to pray without ceasing. We're to be moving in our prayers. We're to be moving in our communication with God. We're to be moving with God. And so what I want to say today is that we need to be igniting movement with moments of prayer. You see, our prayer needs to ignite movement in our life. Not only that, prayer should ignite a movement in those around us. And it should impact other people's lives around us. You see, I believe what we find out here is that the actions of Jonathan in his life, it touched other people. When you become obedient in your life, and that's really what we're looking at, we're looking at trying to find that place of obedience in our life where, yes, we're standing on the balls of our feet, on our tiptoes. We're leaning forward. We're leaning forward into action for God. We're finding ourselves in the moments of life, and are we in a posture where we're on our heels and we're not being obedient to God, or are we getting out on the balls of our feet and saying, God, we're ready to move forward? Are we impacting those around us with a movement? You see, the greatest things that have happened in the world have been movements. It's more than ideology. There's lots of great ideology that don't bring about movements. There's great ideas that never translate to movement. Here we find Jonathan was about movement. He was about moving forward. And so what we need to make sure of, number one, is that our moments of prayer ignite movement. And what I would say to you is that the life that Jonathan was living ignited and set people ablaze around him. We hadn't said in this series anything about the armor bearer much, except we see his willingness to follow and obey. But do you see how Jonathan impacted an armor bearer? Do we understand how much he trusted Jonathan? This armor bearer had to be a set ablaze. He had to be ignited by the passion and the love for God, the desire to follow God. This armor bearer was touched in a way that really is mind-boggling when we think about it. I want to say to us that we need to unlock, and may we through moments, our divine moments, unlock the potential with, and I believe divine moments do unlock our potential, but I believe that divine moments will unlock the potential in other people as well. Now, what we don't want to be is defined by being a person of potential. You know, a lot of times in our culture, when we say that person has a lot of potential, more times than not, it's being spoken of from a negative viewpoint. We realize potential in somebody and we want to see that potentiality come forth. But a lot of times we're speaking of the fact that, well, you know, they got a lot of potential. But there's a hint of disappointment in it. What I want to say to us that potential is a powerful word, but we don't want to be defined by what we could be. We want to be defined by who we are, what we're doing, what we're accomplishing, how we're living our life. And I would say to you that it's an issue, really, of obedience. And I believe what Jonathan did, he was what his obedience unleashed the potential, and it unleashed in what God was wanting to do in other people's lives. Can you see that? It unleashed them. The armor bearer, he was unleashed to be right in the center of God's will. You see, I believe that it will unleash when we realize our potential and we are become people who are obedient to God in every way. It will unleash the potential in faithful people. See the armor bearer was faithful. He was faithful. But sometimes faithful people need to be urged to even move forward in greater manner. Now I'll tell you, There's great faith and there's faithful. There are times when God has moved upon my life in great faith. And I stepped out and did a particular thing in faith. But I want to tell us also, just being faithful. If we will be faithful, it will lead us to great faith. If we'll be faithful in the mundane, in the everyday, in the word and in prayer, in witnessing, in pleasing the Lord, in living a life pleasing to Him, in serving the Lord. Again, serving Him is touching other people. It's serving the Lord, doing what God would have us to do, being obedient in regards to all of those things. If we're doing that, we will find that God will begin to cause faith to arise in even greater measure to accomplish all that God would have us to do for His glory. But a lot of times people are wanting great faith and they're not even faithful. They're saying, God, why don't you do this, that, and the other? And they are not doing even the basics. But we're talking about how that the potential was unleashed within the armor bearer, a faithful man. But because Jonathan was a man of movement in God, he was a man who was obedient in the divine moments. He wasn't on his heels, but he was moving forward. The armor bearer followed him. And he was right in the middle of the action. That wasn't all. Notice verse 21. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites. Did you notice the first part of verse 21? The Hebrews who were with the Philistines. All of a sudden, through Jonathan's movement in the moment, those Hebrews who were in rebellion, who had joined the Philistines, who had, think about it for a minute, they said, hey, we can't beat them, join them. They left their own people, they went to the enemy's camp and joined in there, but when they saw Jonathan, when they began to see the movement in the moment by this man of faith named Jonathan, they said, no, we're going back to where we come. I want to tell you, you'll begin to touch the rebellious of the world who are straying if you will be a person of movement in the moment through obedience to God Himself. Isn't that beautiful? Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in the battle. Hard after the Israelites in the battle. They were hidden. I want to tell you, when we move forward in the moment with obedience in our divine moments, the people who are hidden, the people who are hurting, the people who have scars, the people who are gripped with fear, they'll come out of their holes. And God will begin to heal them. He'll begin to transform them. He'll begin to change them. He will change everything and they'll climb out of their holes. You see, but what we do matters. You and I need to know our potential and realize our potential in God. And our potential is not to be in the shadows, folks. It's to come out, not on a stage of self-aggrandizement, but on a stage of obedience, where we can touch the heart of God, where we can be used by God Himself to accomplish all that He would have us to be, so that we enter into divine moments with obedience and bring about change that will impact the faithful, the rebellious, the ones that are sick, the ones who are hiding, the ones who are hurt, the ones who are paralyzed in fear. They can come out of hiding where they are and enter the land of the living, enter the land of the miracle, enter the land of hope, enter the land of help, and everything changes. Jesus raised us from death unto life. You and I can be change agents just like our Savior. Yes, His death was once and for all to raise us to life. But you and I can be used through entering into the divine moments with obedience. And it can raise dead men to life spiritually. Incredible. Verse 23. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth Aven. Listen, no matter how great the victory, we celebrate it. But the battle moves on to Beth Aven. Got to box another round. But when we box another round, we come with more experience. We come with a different level of faith and understanding. But never should we be so that we miss and just sit in a relaxed state that we become vulnerable after victory. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went down into a pit with a lion on a snowy day. He whipped two lion-like men, then whipped a lion in the pit, and then he come out of the pit, and there was a goodly Egyptian man, according to the King James Version, with a spear. He was a giant of a man with a spear. But I like King James Version. Don't read me another version on this. Because the goodly Egyptian man speaks to me about subtlety. Two lion-like men and a lion, and then you got a goodly Egyptian man. I can't help but think about lighting your loafers, things like that. He's a big man, but something, he doesn't seem dangerous. But Benaiah, the mighty man of valor, he understood that the battle moves on to Beth Aven. I want to ask you today, will you join me and be obedient in the divine moments? That's the only way we're going to change this world. Is being obedient to God over man. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, here we are, God. From moments to movement. Lord, I pray for a movement in our day. A movement of people that are focused on accommodating to your will. Accommodating to your desire for them and for me, for us. That we would not miss it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.